Amen. Numbers chapter 32 this morning. Numbers chapter 32. If you will remain standing just a few moments this morning, we'll read the scriptures and then you may be seated this morning. Numbers chapter 32. And I appreciate the privilege to stand here this morning. Thank God I'm saved this morning. The Lord has called me to preach His word. And there's much greater men of God standing here this morning. And I promise that I won't be long, but I'll try to just mind the Lord and we'll get out of the way this morning. Hopefully something said will be a blessing to your heart this morning and uplift the name of Jesus. Numbers chapter 32 this morning, the Bible said in verse number 1, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. When they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and the princes and the congregation, saying," and y'all bear with me on these names, "Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer, Nimrod and Heshbon, Elilah, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore," said they, "if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." Turn to verse 33 with me, if you will. Verse 33, the Bible said, "And Moses gave unto them," even to the children of Gad, "and the children of Reuben, to the half tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, and the king of the Amorites, the king of Og, the king of Bashan, and the land which the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about." Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. You may be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, I'm honored to be able to stand here this morning, God. But I realize, God, I'm nothing this morning. I need a fresh and anointing touch from the Holy Ghost this morning, God. I pray you might fill me with your presence now. Lord, you've laid this message heavy on my heart this morning, God. I pray, Lord, you get the honor, the praise, and the glory this morning, God. I pray you give liberty and leadership now how to preach this word now. And I pray, Lord, you remind us of what we've studied and what we thought about God. And I pray, Lord, you just help us now. Lord, there may be one unsaved this morning in our midst this morning, God. I pray you draw that sinner unto Holy Ghost conviction and let them get in an altar and get saved this morning. I pray there may be some young people or whatever age people this morning, God, just not giving all to you, God. Maybe there's some things in their life, Lord, they need to get straight, God. Help us all. Speak to all of our hearts. We pray this morning, God, and I pray, Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen this morning. Looking here in Numbers chapter 32 this morning, this selective text here, the Lord began to burden my heart for this message this morning. And looking here in Numbers chapter 32, you probably have to understand where we're at in the context of scriptures. But as we look here, as you go through the books of the Bible here, you'll find when you come to the book of Numbers that the children of Israel are wandering around in the wilderness here. They've done been delivered out of Egypt there. They were delivered, thank God, by the blood. Amen. I want to say the only way you're going to get out of Egypt is by the blood, amen, of the sacrificial lamb. I'm glad today my sacrificial lamb was not the same one, so to speak, that they had in the Old Testament. But I'm glad Jesus is our sacrificial lamb who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And I'm glad his blood still delivers, amen. I'm glad he brought me out of the land of captivity. And I'm glad he brought us into the land of Canaan. Amen. You see, God has brought them out in order to bring them into the land of Canaan. That was the desire of God. If you go all the way back and you study back to Abraham, it was promised. That lamb was promised to Abraham and his descendants. When Moses was there in Exodus chapter 3 and God called Moses, he told Moses, he said, you're going to lead those children out of Egypt into that land flowing with milk and honey there. And so God's desire was to bring them out of Egypt and bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of rest, amen. It was a promised land, amen. It would be a protected land. It'd be a land where his blessings would be upon them, amen. I'm going to say today to this, God has saved you this morning not to just live the same way you've lived, but to bring you into the land of Canaan, that land of spirituality. spiritual victory in order that you can be saved and be blessed and live in that land of Canaan. Amen. This morning, I'm glad for what God has done in my life. Amen. But as we look here and you come to Numbers chapter 32, you'll find in the process of their time in the wilderness, there were 2.5 tribes here, the tribe of Gad, of Reuben, and the half tribe of Manasseh, who come to the place to decide, we've went as far as we want to go. Amen. Boy, that's still a problem in our day today. Amen. And not just with young people, with middle age, with those, we get to the place where we think, well, I've went as far as I want to go. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you something. Listen, God wants us to continue to grow in our faith, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to mature in our walk with Christ, and to be what God would have us to be. Listen, I just want to preach for a few moments this morning on settling for less than God's best. Amen. Listen, I feel like so many of us are settling for less than God's perfect will for our life. Listen, this morning, God has a perfect, personal, proved will for your life. Listen, and so many of us get tired of waiting, get tired of following what God wants, and we begin to come up short. We can say, well, I'm just going to settle where I'm at. Listen, young people, whoever's listening to my voice this morning, don't settle for what the devil has to offer for you. Listen, this morning, God's got a better plan. God's got a better picture. Listen, God knows what's best. He sees everything from the shepherd's point of view, and I'm glad God knows what you and I need, and you and I don't need to settle for less than God's best. Amen, this morning. Amen. Listen, we're settling for a lot less a lot of times than what God really wants for us. Amen. Oh, yes. I see here this deliverance from Egypt. It's a picture of salvation, but I feel like going into that Canaan land is a picture of sanctification, living in that victory, living in that place where we're supposed to be. Amen. But listen, so many of us just not living where we need to be. Amen. That's the truth. Oh, yeah, and I understand this morning. You're at Jubilee this morning. You're dressed very nicely. I understand you. Many of you were raised in church. That's wonderful. Many of you have a godly, goodly heritage. Many of you are, you're blessed. You have a wonderful pastor that preaches to you every Sunday and with wonderful. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean you're right with God. Amen. That doesn't mean everything in our lives where it needs to be. Listen, that doesn't mean everything in our heart is where it needs to be. And I want to say this morning, you and I can take an account from some of these things and realize if we're not careful, we'll settle for less than God's best. I heard this quote back up the road, and I wish I could remember what preacher said it, so this is not original. But I heard this quote, and it said, you'll never have what you're willing to live without. Amen. What are we willing to live without in 2017? I'm talking about spiritually, not possession. I'm just talking about spiritually. What are we willing to live without? Because we'll never have what we're willing to live without. Amen. I believe that's the truth this morning. Amen. I want to just give you 3 quick reasons why they settle for less than God's best. Number one, if you look in chapter 32 of Numbers, you'll find here that the Bible says in verse 1, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land, oh yes, notice that. Notice what verse number 4 says. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle. And thy servants have cattle. Number one, they had a lust for the possessions. It caused them to settle for less than God's best. Oh yeah, if we get our eyes too much on the possessions and the things of this life, listen, we're to look above through the eyes of faith at a better home and a better place. Listen, this world's not my home. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim just traveling through on my way to a better place this morning. I'm glad this world is not my home. I've got much more to look forward to this morning. Listen, it'd be a sad day if all I had to look forward to what's the situation we're in today. But I'm glad. Listen, this world's not my home. But if we're not careful, the lust for those possessions and things in our life will cause us to make choices that settle for less than God's best. Let me say number 2, not only the lust for their possessions, they had placed the cattle above what God wanted. They began to look at the land through the eyes of what's best for my possession, what's best for my need, what's best for all that. Never consulting it, God told them way back then, I want you over there in the land of Canaan. But also I want to show you this, the lack of patience. Amen. You see, they didn't, that, and you know, I've been preaching through this at church on faith. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, tells us very clearly, well, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, God wants us to get some patience. I was reading behind and some commentators, and I began to study that, and some of them believe patience is a sure sign of maturity in our Christian walk. Amen. You see, and I believe they got their pay, they began to lack pay. They got the place. They were tired of waiting on the land of Canaan. They just go settle where they're at. Well, I say, listen, there's a lot of people settling for less because they just get impatient waiting on God's perfect will. Get impatient waiting on that one. And young people, don't get impatient waiting on the one God has for you. Amen. In your relationships, don't get impatient. Say, well, here comes the first man or woman by that shows me attention. Boy, I'm going to jump on that train. Yeah, you'll be in a mess. Amen. Listen, don't jump on the first thing that goes by. Listen, young preachers in here, I can't really say much to the older preachers, but the young preachers in here, don't jump on the first opportunity that goes by. Amen. Listen, you wait on God to show you His will for your ministry and your life. Listen, young people, I want to tell you, we're not careful. We get impatient. Think I'll do things my way. Boy, we're going to make a mistake. Listen, don't get to the place of tired of wait. Just wait on God. Have confidence in His timing. Amen. You'll be glad you did. But I want to say this. I believe thirdly was because the length of time they'd been in this place. See, they've been there for a while. And let me say this. If you're not careful in your spiritual Christian walk, the longer you stay in this place spiritually, the longer you're going to continue there. See, there's a lot of people got saved. I mean, they jumped in and they got saved, gloriously born again, wonderful. They just stopped. And the longer they sit there, the longer they're going to stay there. The longer they spend time in that place, the more there's going to be opportunity to stay where they're at spiritually. Amen. I was reading a story the other day, just a prime example. Talked about a little boy or girl there, and late at night, the mama heard the child there fall out of the bed. Boy, you don't ever want to hear that. Amen. They begin to cry and whine and all those things. The mom run in there and picked up the child and began to ask her, what's wrong? What's wrong? She said, I fell out of the bed. And she said, were you okay? And the child just, you know, kept crying and everything. Well, she laid the child back down. And then she began to notice there that the child would just stay right there close to the edge. She never would move on into the bed. The mama looked at the child and said, it's going to keep happening if you stay right there close to where you got in. Oh, yeah. You know why a lot of people keep falling back off the bed? You know why a lot of people keep falling back off the wagon? It ain't because they didn't get it, but it's because they're staying so close to where they got in. Amen. We need to go forward. We need to go on. We need to keep moving forward. Amen. And the longer you stay where you're at, the longer you're just going to keep staying there. Amen. Oh, yes. So you and I us need to move forward. Don't settle for less than God's best. But the Lord been dealing my heart about this part here, dealing really with sanctification. Brother, how much longer I got? I didn't even look when I got up here. I just want to make sure I'm good, brother. You tell me if I'm getting too long, brother, because I have a hard time with that sometimes. Amen. All right, so look here with me real quickly tonight. You're dealing with sanctification now. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. But I want to say this. I'm reminded as I begin to read this about way back over in Exodus there, chapter number 8. There when Moses, he went to Pharaoh there. He began to start dealing with Pharaoh, and you know how the stories go. You know the accounts of how God would tell Moses something. He would go to Pharaoh and back and forth they were. When Exodus chapter 8 and around verse number 28, there that Moses comes there to Pharaoh. And he says, we've got to go. We're going to sacrifice unto our gods. And there the Pharaoh says, well, we'll let you go into the wilderness, but don't go very far away. Y'all remember that? Exodus chapter 8. I believe it's around verse number 28. You see, that's what the devil wants in our life. You see, once we get saved, he's lost our life. He no longer has control of our soul. But he wants us to stay real close there. Don't go too far. Don't just stay real close there. Just stay real close. Or don't get too far over there. Amen. Listen, but you and I need to learn something. Listen, you and I want to say this. Canaan land was that perfect place, will of God, for those children of Israel. Amen. That was where God wanted them to be. And I want to say God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose. God has a perfect will. But you see, you and I, we've got to let go of some things on this side. Amen. You see, we got to get in there. We've got to go across that Jordan River. We've got to possess that land. Amen. But I want to say this morning. Listen, you and I want to say this to the young people sitting in here this morning. I'm not just trying to peek you out, but I do want to say this being youth service like it is. Listen, the devil will try to tell you that really living it up is getting saved and then living in the world. Because you got the best of both worlds is what he'll try to tell you. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I believed that lie for a little while. I did. I'm just being honest this morning. I thought, you know what? I'm saved, but I want to try the world. I want to see how it is. Just experience it for myself. Oh, that's got to be having it made. I mean, you know you're on your way to heaven, but you get to do whatever you want to do. But Paul told us, be careful about that, amen. Listen, now, just because we're saved, because we got grace, that doesn't mean we can just sin. Doesn't mean we have a license to sin. Amen. I'm going to say that's, look, he said, God forbid, amen. Don't even perish not the thought of that. But I want to say, listen, young people, you'll never be satisfied trying to live in the world and also try to live for God. Listen, you can't serve two masters. You can't do both things. And listen, I want to say this morning, listen, it'll be a life of defeat, of being defeated, being discouraged, being doubtful. I mean, listen, that's all that will lead to is a life of guiltiness. I'm going to say sin is still sin. And I say we need to still call it a sin in 2017. But you'll never be happy on this side of Jordan. When God said, get on that side of Jordan, amen. Amen. You're never going to be. Amen. That's the truth. Listen, whatever it may be, whatever sin it may be, whatever it may be in your life, young people, you better be careful. Amen. You see, you begin to look around at the things. You begin to think about, well, you know, I'm young. I've got a lot of life to live. I'm just going to live it up right now. I'll get right when I get older. No. Listen, you'll never be happy. Amen. You never will be. You'll never know true joy, peace, satisfaction till you just give it all to God and just go with Him and just live for Him. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm more happier today than I've ever been since I just said, God, whatever you want in my life, I'm a candidate for it. Until the day I said, God, I want to satisfy you more than I want to satisfy my flesh. I want to say, God, you'll never be disappointed. Giving it all to God, amen, this morning. Amen. You see, so many times, there's many of us, just like that little child, laying in that bed, staying so close to the edge, saying, well, I just, almost like Lot was, looking over to the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, staying too close to that edge. Amen. Next thing you know, we'll be bound back under that bondage of some sin. Amen. Next thing you know, we'll be at the place where we just can't serve God. We just can't really live for God. Just can't really do what we need to be doing because we're just bound by things again. Got those chains and those bondage back on us. Amen. Oh, yes. But I want to say that's not God's plan. That's not God's will. God wants us to get over into Canaan land. God wants us to get... And let me just say this too. Listen, I know so many young people. And it's like they know they're doing things wrong, but they're just not willing to get it right. That's sad. It's very sad. But I want to say this morning. Till you get tired of your life, you'll never get some things right. Amen. Listen, there's got to be a time in your life when you're eventually just going to say, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing this. Amen. I remember as a young person when, oh yeah, I was saved, but I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Eventually, one day, I said, I'm tired of it. tired of it. Because the conviction, the guilt, the constant knowing I'm not doing what I need to be doing, the constant knowing that I can't tell nobody about Jesus because I stay so defeated, the constant knowing I can't serve God like I need to because I know I'm not where I need to be. And I mean, every time you go in church, you feel that conviction. You know that you're not right. I want to say you'll never be what you need to be, but I want to say there's a time you got to realize I'm tired of settling for less. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for that prodigal son who came to himself, got tired of being in that hog pen. Amen. Listen, thank God for that. He got tired of it. Oh, yes. Amen. But I want to say this. There's a time in your life you got to get tired of selling for less. Amen. I wonder if some this morning you're just tired of settling for less. Tired of just settling for whatever. Tired of just doing. Every time the devil throws something by your eyesight, you'd latch into it. Amen. James tells us about that. Every man is tempted when he's enticed. That's like throwing a bait in front. I like to fish, amen. I like to throw that bait out there and hope that fish is going to get it, amen. That's the same way the devil does. He throws that bait out there, and there's some of us, listen, that we jump on everything he throws by almost, amen. Listen, I want to say we got to get tired of that, and you and I need to learn to trust God for that victory, amen. Trust the Lord for victory. Amen. Listen, he's the only way you'll have that victory over those things in your life, those sin, those little things that maybe just bothering you, burdening you down, hindering you in your Christian walk. Listen, trust the Lord for victory. I believe Romans 6 deals a lot with that. Amen. Is Brother Milton Taylor here this morning? Brother Milton Taylor, he's not here this morning. Amen. I wish I could tell him this. I remember way back in my ministry when I first surrendered, I went and heard him preach one time. And he stood up and he preached Romans 6. I don't believe I've ever been helped by a message probably as much. And I wish he's here, I'd tell him that, how he helped me. Romans 6, talking about getting that victory over those things. Listen, we've got to know what the Word of God says. We've got to reckon ourselves dead to sin. That means you count, you trust by faith that if God says it is so, you reckon yourself dead to sin and you yield the instruments of your body as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh yeah, I remember when he preached that. Praise the Lord. Still in my mind, just as fresh as it was. Oh yeah. You see, we got to trust the Lord for that victory. We got to repent. We got to turn from that sin. Yep. Get it right. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to say this. I'm going to be done. Go to Joshua chapter number 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1. I want to show you three things. I'm done. I promise I'll only be just a few moments. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Just want to read this to you, and I want you to see some things here. You see, a lot of young people think, boy, I'm really living it up in the world. Oh, no. You know, when I realized I was really living it up, it's when I got saved. Amen. When I realized there's much more to life than what this world has to offer. Amen. Listen, that's what, oh, yes, this morning. That's the truth, too. Amen. Look in Joshua chapter 1. Go to verse number 12 with me this morning. The Bible said, and to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, to the half-tribe Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed on the mighty men of valor and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Now I want you to think about this. Here they are, their brethren have finally reached the place to cross Jordan, conquer that land of Canaan. Here they are, no doubt. They're having to go in. They're having to help them conquer a land they'll never possess. That's sad. How sad is that? Because of the decision they made. But I want you to look at this. This decision affected three things here. I want to give you real quickly. Number one was their family. Their family would never be able to go over into Canaan land because they made the decision to settle on that side of Jordan. Oh yeah, them men had to go. They had to fight for that land. For the 7 years there, they tried to conquer that land with them, and God blessed that wonderful. But their families stayed on that side of Jordan, never got to see it. There's a lot of us selling for less than God's best, and our families is going to pay for it. Amen. You don't believe it, boy, you better believe it. Amen. Listen, parents, grandparents, you settle for less than God's best, your children and grandchildren will pay for it. Amen. That's right. And I want to say this morning, your families will pay when you make poor decisions in your life. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Amen. When you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you'll reap corruption. Amen. But I want to say, not only did their family suffer, their friends suffered. Right. Oh, yeah. Here are the 12 tribes. Now, all of a sudden, 2.5 tribes are gone. Yep. Think about that. Their friends suffered. Could you imagine your church, that percentage just walking out? Yep. Y'all'd suffer. His church would suffer. I mean, if you really look at 2.5 of those 12 tribes just walking out, that hinders, that hurts. Oh, yeah. Think of the friends who were affected. And let me just say that. Think of your friends who were affected because of your decisions to choose to settle for less than God's best. You say, oh, they got to make their own decision. I know they do, but they may be looking at you. They may be watching your life. They may be watching you as an older person to them, as somebody they look up to. And every time that you make a decision and say, you know what? I'm going to go do this my own way. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to rebel against what the pastor says and what this man of God says and what the Bible has to say. There may be some younger ones under you watching you. Amen. Say, well, this guy over here, he's no longer in church. Guess I don't have to be either. Oh, yeah, that's true. There's people watching all of us. Amen. Listen, a lot of our decisions are affecting our friends around us. And number three, lastly, it affected their future. Amen. Listen, they never possessed that land. Never possessed. Affected their future. They made that decision. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to make this little decision here. Then it affected the next decision they made. Then affects the next decision they make. They just keep drifting further and further. Think about that. See, our little decisions affect our future. And every time, like I said earlier, we make that decision to settle for less than God's best, it causes another chain reaction of a decision that will continue and continue.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's right. It'll affect our future. But I wonder, just thinking about that, I wonder as they were trying their best to fight for a land. No doubt some of them may didn't make it back home. They're fighting for a land they never could possess because of the decisions they made back over here. Boy, decisions do affect our life, young people. Decisions affect our life. These little things and choices we make, oh yeah, listen, God wants you to live holy and acceptable unto God. God wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice. God wants you to live your life pleasing unto Him. Listen, He sought you, He bought you. Listen, the least we could do to say, God, what do you want in my life? God, you want, I don't want to settle for less than God's best anymore. Oh, yeah. Listen, you're going to have to get tired of that sin, tired of those things. Turn to Him, repent of that sin, get it right with God. Amen. Listen, I wonder this morning, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor. But I wonder this morning, are you settling for less than God's best? Think about that. Examine yourself. You sell him for less than what God wants you to in this life. Listen, you'll never be happy that way. The Bible said, Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man. You know what that word blessed in Psalm 1 means? Happy, joyful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It didn't say happy is the man that lives on the fence line. It didn't say happy is the man that makes his own decisions and does whatever he wants to do. But blessed is the man that walketh not, that standeth not, that sitteth not. Oh yeah. You say, well, what is his delight in? It's in the law of the Lord. Doth he meditate day and night? Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Preacher, turn it back over to you.